Our scripture this morning is found in Micah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Beloved, God calls us to be filled with power, but we're scared of that. We're scared of that because if we were actually filled with the power of God, we might have to forgive somebody. But Micah tells us, he shows us a culture not too dissimilar from our own. And he shows us the gospel power of the Spirit of God working in our lives. Micah chapter 3. And I said, "Hear now, heads of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear off their skin from them and their flesh from their bones, who eat the flesh of my people, strip off their skin from them, break their bones and chop them up as for the pot and as meat in a kettle. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. Instead, he will hide his face from them at that time, because they have practiced evil deeds. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray. When they have something to bite with their teeth, they cry peace. But against him who puts nothing in their mouths, they declare holy war. Therefore, it will be night for you without vision, and darkness for you without divination. The sun will go down on the prophets, and the day will become dark over them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners will be embarrassed. Indeed, they will all cover their mouths, because there is no answer from God. On the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. Now hear this, heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and twist everything that is straight, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent injustice. Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe, her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, 'Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us.' Therefore, on account of you, Zion will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the temple will become high places of a forest." Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the reading of your perfect and infallible word in our midst this morning. God, we love you so much, and we understand that Micah didn't want to do and didn't want to deliver this message, but you gave him the message that needed to be delivered. And you gave him godly courage to go and do it. And so, Father, as you illumined the heart and mind of Micah when you gave to him this perfect and infallible word, we ask that you would illumine our hearts and minds as well to accomplish what you've called us to accomplish. We love you so much, Lord. We offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer. In and through the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Master. Amen. When you think of power, what are you thinking about? We tend to think about the movers and the shakers in our culture. We tend to think about our elected officials. We tend to think about how they misuse power. And we tend to think that power is an ungodly thing. But look at what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, now wait, here's a conditional, if we died with him, we will also live with him. Now see, doesn't that make sense? Paul is telling Timothy, you can't live until you first died. You can't live until you've died. We tend to think it all the other way around. But Paul is saying to Timothy that true life, genuine life, the kind of life that God wants you to have cannot be found until you first die. And if we endure, look at what he says, we will also reign with him. You know, beloved, it'd be enough to be adopted children of God, right? How many of y'all remember the children's table at Thanksgiving or at Christmas, right? That'd be enough to be able to sit at the children's table in heaven as an adopted child. But that's not good enough for God's children. God says, no, y'all don't sit over at that child's table. You come over here and sit at the table with me. You sit at the table with me. And while you're sitting at the table with me, you are going to co-reign with me. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. See, Paul is saying the same thing that Micah is. Micah 3 is about power. And Micah first addresses those that have misused their power. And then he models godly power by hinting at gospel power. So why should we care about that? Because everybody in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, has power to be used and invested in the lives of those around us. What a blessing it was to hear about this young man down in Belize. This young man down in Belize that God is driving into his word. And he is being discipled and mentored at Bullet Tree, so that when somebody says something to him that's not true, the Spirit of God says, that's not true. And as Junior said, good golly, can you imagine what God is going to do in Belize when this young man... But see, beloved, that kind of thing doesn't have to happen in Bullet Tree only. That kind of thing can happen right here in Mohawk if we will use the power that God has given to us. If we will use the power that God wants to give to us, and if we will have that godly courage, if we will have that godly justice. Listen again to verse 8. On the other hand, Micah says, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. Now, let me tell you something, beloved. Have you ever had to confront somebody that was more powerful than you are? Have you ever had to go to your boss and tell them you're wrong? What you're doing is wrong, or what you're doing is unethical. That's not an easy conversation to have. And Micah is standing in front of this group of men that are misusing their power. We saw in those first verses, in verses 1 and 2, that the way that they're treating the people in the land is the same as if they were cannibals. As if they were literally eating them. Can you imagine for these people, especially these widows that they're talking about, that we talked about back in chapter 2, that their property is being sold on the steps of the city gate? And these men are so filled with themselves that they're doing the right thing. That's what the law says. Well, the law says that you can kill a baby while it's still inside its mama's womb. But that doesn't make it right. And their law said that they could do this thing, and they were abusing that privilege. They were abusing that power. And Micah comes, and he delivers the message of God and says, you hate good and love evil. You're so thoroughly corrupt that you don't even know the difference between good and evil anymore. Verse 4, it says, since they have hidden themselves from God, they will cry out to God, but he's not going to answer them. Instead, he will hide his face from them at that time because they have practiced evil deeds. Leviticus 19:15 gives them guidance. It says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. Doesn't say you shall do nothing but a little bit of injustice. It doesn't say a little bit of injustice is okay. It says you will do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Over and over again, the Bible tells us not to be partial. And yet that's what we do. So what should we do? Solomon told us in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Y'all didn't know there's anything in Proverbs 31 except for the virtuous woman, did you? Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. Now, Solomon is addressing this to his son, who will one day become king. Didn't work. Because his son didn't listen to this. His son didn't do what Solomon told him to do. But this, beloved, is a biblical mandate for us not to be silent when we see injustice in our world. Because to be silent is to be complicit. Open your mouth, God says. Open your mouth and get involved. As the church, we should be concerned with both truth and justice. And be mindful that in a world full of sin, we must do the same thing that Micah did, and that is confront with just power. In verses 5 through 8, Micah gives the source of his authority. Thus says Yahweh. Remember, we've learned when we see Lord in all caps, we're using the covenant name of God. Thus says Yahweh. This isn't my message, Micah says. You hadn't got under my saddle, you've gotten under God's saddle. And he's saying you're leading these people astray. But notice what he says. Who lead my people astray? God says these are my people. How many of y'all would be blessed if I came to one of your loved ones and taught them error? If I taught them a heresy that would land them in hell? That'd probably bother you, wouldn't it? I hope it would. And that's what God is saying they're doing. He says, you are leading my people astray. You are proclaiming peace. And whoever doesn't provide for you, you proclaim a war against them. Let me give this to you in a way that would make sense to you. You're walking through someplace and you see a vending machine. And you stop and you put some money in that vending machine and you push the button and it gives you something. Okay? That's what these guys are like. When you give them what they want, they'll give you something. But what would happen if I walked by that vending machine, didn't even look at it, and kept on going? Micah says that vending machine would turn and run after me and try to kill me because I didn't put any money in it when I walked past it. That's the way these men have become. And they're leading God's people astray. And their sentence is in verses 6 and 7. God says, I'm just going to completely withdraw from you. Now, do you notice? It's never a question that these men were prophets. It's never a question that these men had been given the gift of prophecy by God. But God is saying, you misused your gift, and I'm going to take it away from you. Therefore, it will be night for you without vision, and darkness for you without divination. The sun will go down on the prophets, and the day will become dark over them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners will be embarrassed. Indeed, they will all cover their mouths, because there is no answer from God. We're not going to get into the technicality of that. But all of these words, the seers, the prophets, the diviners, were different words that were used for different kinds of prophets throughout the Old Testament. And then verse 8. Micah draws a sharp contrast between who he is and who they are. And Micah says that he has been filled with might. And that is a word that's often used to discuss God's might. We see it in Deuteronomy 3:24, where it tells us that, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? And for the courage of God's of godly people in Judges 8:21. Then Ziba and Zalumna said, rise up yourself and fall on us, for as the man, so is his strength. So Gideon arose and killed Ziba and Zalumna, and they took the crescent ornaments which were on their camel necks. In other words, Gideon rose up and he showed courage. Micah is showing us that he can exercise proper authority because he's not relying upon his own wisdom. He's not relying on what he thinks is the right thing to do. He is moving because that's what God told him to do. Verse 8, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. You see, just power corrects and leads others to the Lord. We ain't got time to go there, but I want you to see when you get home, Jeremiah 26, verses 18 and 19. Read through that and you're going to see what happened when Micah did this. This is Jeremiah's diagnosis on the effectiveness of what Micah did. Micah made this prophecy and the king repented. The king repented. Hezekiah repented. But then the next generation came back and brought all of this evil back in again. Verses 9 through 12. Micah is talking to the heads of the house of Israel. And he's got Holy Spirit fire in his chest. He's going to need it. Because do you see what he says is going to happen? He is saying God is abandoning you. God is leaving you. And verse 12, the temple is going to be destroyed. What happened to Jesus when he said the temple was going to be destroyed? They killed him. And Micah is well aware that if he launches this frontal assault on the temple, if he launches this frontal assault on these men of power, that it very well could turn out very not good for him. Mark 13, 1 and 2 shows Jesus making the same prophecy. Verse 2, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down. What we learn here is that gospel power is not afraid to lay its life down to rescue others. Gospel power is not afraid to lay its life down to rescue others. And that's what Paul is calling us to understand in Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Listen, beloved, Micah did it. Micah did it because he was filled with gospel power, because he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus did it because he understood that that was what God had called him to do. All of the apostles did it because they understand that that's why Jesus came, and Jesus invested that Holy Spirit power in them. Remember what Jesus said to them that last night? He said, listen, guys, they're about to crucify me, and yon, yon, I hope you can figure it out. That's not what he said at all. He said, I'm going to send another one to you, and you're going to be filled with power. Wait for him. Wait for him here in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit is going to fill you with power. And when he does, I want you to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth with gospel power, with the Holy Spirit in your chest, filling you with his power, filling you with his love. Go and make a difference. Go and make a difference. And so now it's time for you and me to go and do the same. Will we exercise gospel power in the places God has called us to serve this week?